I want you to imagine throughout the course of this message tonight that the three aisles that we have in our auditorium, this aisle right here, this middle aisle, and then this aisle right here, represent, if you will, three roads, one of which all of us in this room right now are currently traveling on, spiritually speaking. Verse 8, you'll look at it again, it says, but cleave, it's a strong word. Cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. I hope as you listen to tonight's text that you will diligently search your own heart to see which of these three roads we're mentioning tonight you have chosen not only for yourself but also for your family. The first road that we're going to choose over here on my left is one that we're going to call the road of the dedicated heart, the road of dedication. And as you might imagine tonight, this is the road that Joshua and his family could always be found traveling upon. So that this particular road is marked by a faith that is real, that is committed, that is fervent, active, it is sincere. Joshua says in verse 6, be ye therefore very courageous, to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, but cleave, verse 8, unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto or until this day. In other words, dedicated hearts do not represent a middle of the road Christianity. It is devotion, it is commitment, it is conviction. In chapter 24, you'll turn a page ahead, would you please? And I want you to notice some more scripture, verse 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I love that. Joshua did not say, well, we let our children decide if they want to go to church or not. We don't believe in forcing religion down their throats. You know what? How about forcing children to bathe and go to school? I never ever heard anybody say, well, we let the kids decide if they ever want to bathe. We let them decide when to come in at night and what to eat. We don't believe in forcing these things down our children. No, no, no. As loving parents, like Joshua here, we always demand that our children do what is best for them and what is right for them. And you know what? It's our responsibility to train them, to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. So Joshua says, I've made my choice. I made it a long time ago, and I've decided. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that, beloved, is this road. That is the road of a dedicated heart. But I want you to notice something. Because ringing in these final words of old Joshua also is a warning. It is a warning that this dedicated heart could someday, and on this final road over here, the third road over here, we're going to call it a degenerate heart. That somehow this dedicated heart could find itself in its generations on the degenerate heart road. And you know, this is exactly what happened. Turn ahead a page or two to Judges chapter 2, would you? Let's look at it. Judges chapter number 2. Notice verse 8. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. I don't know about you folks, but that's hard to imagine, isn't it? I mean, you think about it. These were supposed to be God's chosen people. And it's just hard to imagine God's people bowing down in one generation and worshiping the idols of Balaam. But they did it. And the scripture says that instead of pleasing God, they provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 14 says, look at it. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them in the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. Now, beloved, I know without a doubt that there's not a Christian in this room tonight, not one that I know. There's no one here who wants their family to fall into idolatry and provoke the Lord to anger. No Christian deliberately seeks this kind of a heart. However, I also know that the Apostle John warned Christians to, quote, keep themselves from idols. And while the idols of Baal are not a common temptation in our American landscape right now, mark it down, the idols of self and materialism and lust and pride are just about everywhere. And it is possible for every single one of us or our children to be tempted and deceived by these idols of our nation. So the question is this. The question is, how does it happen? How do Christians allow themselves or their institutions, the Christian school or a church, to go from a dedicated heart to what in practical terms is a degenerate heart? And again, I don't believe that any believer, any Christian family or organization deliberately sets out, suddenly makes that kind of a decision. Instead, it always happens exactly as it did with the nation of Israel. Because you see, they, beloved, traveled from a dedicated heart to a degenerate heart by means of this. They traveled there by means of another heart. What was it? Look at chapter 2, would you? Judges chapter 2 and verse 2. Here was the familiar command. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. And ye shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? In other words, now follow this carefully. We're not going to read them. But in chapter 1, verses 22 through 26, Canaanites were permitted to live among the Israelites. That was forbidden. In verses 27 through 30, Israelites were permitted to live among the Canaanites. That was forbidden. In verses 31 and 33, Israelites were permitted to live near the Canaanites, but still in the promised land, and that was permitted. It was just one spiritual compromise after another. Thankfully, a man like Caleb, his future son-in-law, Othniel, reminds us in chapter 1 that however dark it is and how often you see this happening, God always has a remnant. But now, in the book of Judges, an entire generation has passed. And as the old saying goes, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And that simply means that it's not enough that Moses and Joshua obeyed God. It's not enough that the previous generation listened and hearkened to the word of God. It's only beneficial if you yourself right now have an obedient relationship with the God of heaven. And of course, that is precisely this cycle that we see in the Word of God of spiritual destruction that these two books are all about. Judges chapter 1, look at verse 21 across the page. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out. They did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwelt in the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now I'm going to stop here for a moment. At first glance, that decision doesn't seem like all that big of a deal, especially when you realize that they were, except for this, they were doing just about everything that God had commanded them. I want to remind you of the words of Joshua. I'm going to read them to you. He says, Else if you do otherwise, go back and cleave to the remnant of these nations, even those that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them. And go in unto them, and they to you. Know that for a certainty, the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. You see, folks, even as the children of Israel were exercising and living by their dedicated hearts on this path, and they were very far away from degenerate hearts way over here on this path, Nevertheless, they were starting and their children were starting on a path of this one, the dead heart. The dedicated heart, the degenerate heart, and then this dead heart. It is a heart of apathy, lukewarmness, formalism. I want you to hear this carefully. It is not that easy for a Christian to go from here to here. To go from a dedicated heart to a degenerate heart. Honest truth is, that hardly ever happens. It doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen very often. However, it is much easier for a Christian to go from here, the dedicated heart, to the dead heart, the lukewarm. And obviously, I would add that once a Christian or a generation of believers gets to here, it's much easier for them then to get over here. So, what God wants is for all of us to avoid ever getting here. At all costs, avoid this middle, what Jesus called lukewarm Christianity. Avoid the middle of the road, the apathetic faith, and stay excited and active and real and committed in your own personal relationship with the God of heaven. Brother Roloff used to say, the only thing that stays in the middle of the road are dead skunks and yellow lines, and we don't need yellow Christians, he said. Nothing in the middle. Jesus said, I would rather that you were this or this. That's what Jesus said. I would rather that you were hot or cold, but nothing lukewarm, because lukewarm Christianity spawns a generation of disobedient Christianity. And boy, how often we've seen this. Over here is Grandpa's faith. It is sincere. It is humble. It is committed. And as a result, this generation that they bring forth from them is clean and spiritually successful and knowledgeable are these children. They are what people like to call, and some folks in our church call, good kids. Well, we have good kids. I just want to have good kids. But you know, some of those children are a little too knowledgeable in their own minds, or they think Grandpa's zeal was good for him. They think that his dedication, his commitment, that was fine then, but now, you know, this road, it's different today, Pastor. We have to learn to get along and get with the loss and be accommodating, enjoy life to the fullest. Love the Lord, but don't go overboard. And because they lived by most of God's word, frankly, their lives are pretty good. These are our good kids. They end up marrying Christians usually. They attend church on Sunday mornings, usually. They typically obey the word of God where it's easy. They were good kids, but not godly kids. You parents and grandparents, do you want to have good kids or godly kids? And here's the problem. The good kids, they will have children too, eventually. And these children, because their parents have dead hearts, lukewarm, these were allowed to do what these, by them, were never allowed to do. That's why in Tennessee, as a youth pastor, I saw so many godly grandparents who had good and decent kids, but rotten and rebellious grandkids. Third generation Christians. Now I'll tell you this, whether you're first, second, or third generation, I'm a first generation Christian for the most part, whether your parents were Baptists or bank robbers, or both, sometimes that's possible, amen. In fact, it's likely what I've noticed. You still have to do what Joshua did in chapter 24. You have to choose you this day. And young people in this room, I love you tonight, and you have to choose. You know what? You young people, even if your parents are on this road, if you have parents that are on this road, you can choose to be on that road. That's why some of them come home from camp, and they're all excited, and they're on fire for God, and they want to give up this, and they want to start this, and the parents say, whoa, slow down. You just need to be a good kid. You can be a godly kid. Whether the service is dedicated or dead is whether or not you make the decision of Joshua. And all I'm saying tonight is those who fall into this dead heart path, you are setting your children up for the degenerate path. It will be that much harder and worse for them. Don't misunderstand. Your children will still have to choose. The children of these folks that are faithful here, they will still have to choose. They'll be responsible for their actions and choices, just as Adam and Eve had perfect parents. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they still rebelled. They were responsible. However, God didn't put them on the road of rebellion. But dead hearts, apathetic, lukewarm Christians, those are the ones, as religious and neat and respectable and successful as these folks seem, they put the next generation on the road potentially to the degenerate heart. David, the man after God's own heart, sold out his son, Solomon. Solomon was a good son, but definitely the dead middle of the road eventually that enjoyed the blessings of his father's faith. But his son was Rehoboam. Wicked and vile and who divided the kingdom. And so it goes and so it goes. I oftentimes think of the scripture in Psalm 44:1 where the Israelites said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in the days of old." In other words, they heard about the works of God, but they themselves never experienced it. And yet God is always saying, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, your mouth. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it." So that, beloved, God wants to be real, not just realistic. And young people, again, God wants to be real to you, not just realistic. He wants to be known by you, not known about. God wants us to come out of a life of compromise and back into a life of total commitment. And you know, Joshua didn't say, "As for my father's house, they serve the Lord." He said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That kind of commitment. It's not just private, it's public. It's not just horizontal, it's vertical. It's not just satisfied where you are, it's growing. It's not just going through motions, it's devotion. It's not just prayers, it's prayer. It's the kind of faith that our Lord is looking for when he comes again. And I don't know about you, but when he comes again, I want to be on that road. The dedicated heart. Pastor, what causes a Christian to go from here to here? How's it happen? I think it's simple. I think it's the exact same thing that caused the Israelites and Saul and Solomon and many others to do it as well. And is this. Once Christians are in this position, over here and dedicated, and they begin to come over here, and you talk to them and you fellowship with them and they're good people and they're successful people and they're pretty much clean people. But when you talk to them, you get the impression immediately that they got, to put it in country term, they got too big for their britches, spiritually speaking. They got to a place where, you know, Joshua and Caleb, they had to fight for the land. Caleb was 80 years old, inspires me, and he said, "I want that mountain. I'm not done yet." They had to fight for the land. These folks, they inherited the land. So in some ways, they get the idea that they don't need God. David depended upon God for the kingdom. Solomon didn't depend on anyone. Eventually, he just inherited that kingdom. Saul, the Bible says, God says, Saul was great as long as he was little in his own eyes and in need of God. In other words, you never get so spiritual, beloved, that you don't need church and the fellowship of God's people and self-examination and conviction and instruction. To these people, I would say, and granted, I mean, maybe I should preach this on a Sunday morning. To these people, I would say, remember when you needed to pray and you know it. Remember when you didn't dream of going a day without the prayer closet or Bible study. Well, what happened? It's pride. These folks get to the point where, like the children of Israel, they know about as much about God as anyone else around, and that's just good enough for them. And so they think they can afford to slack off in their commitment to God. And I just want to say this again to the parents and grandparents here. If you're here, you're not putting yourself at so much risk as you're definitely putting the ones under you at great, great risk. And that's how Christians go from here to here. They forget to fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Dead faith is a faith that thinks it's spiritual enough to put up and yoke up with just some of the inhabitants of the land. In other words, it's gotten too big for its spiritual riches. I suppose tonight that a lot of us here need to focus our hearts again on the Lord, to living and walking over here in this active, dedicated, sold-out faith, this road of a dedicated heart. You know, it's not good enough to be on a road that looks good and sounds good and feels good. The respectable road, and this one's the respectable one in our society today. Not so much that one, but this one. It's not good enough to be on a road that just looks good. It's not good enough to be on a road that is just busy with Christianized things. You know, the Facebook, it says, religion Christian, that's it. And there's nothing else left in Facebook ever on the likes or anything else that shows that the person's a Christian. Just that one thing, not ashamed. A Christianized road. The important thing is to be on the right road, because only the right road will lead the next generation to the right destination. There used to be a store in the mall called Sharper Image. Remember that? Long time ago. It's one of those stores everybody likes to go in and look around, but nobody buys anything. Hence, it's out of business. I remember years ago, they had a watch there. It was kind of odd. It was a regular watch, and on a button, there was a side, and you push it up, and the face came up. And when it came up, there was a big compass, of all things. And nobody bought the thing, obviously. But I thought it had a great message. The message is, it doesn't matter how busy you are. It doesn't matter what time it is. It doesn't matter what your schedule is. If you're not headed in the right direction, what difference does it make? What difference does it make that you're on time for your meeting and you're making lots of money and you're doing this, you're doing that? What difference does it make if you're on the wrong road going the wrong direction? And I'm just admonishing all of us and this church and this pastor to stay on fire, to stay on that road, to be full of zeal for the Lord, to keep our faith and keep our family on it as well. You said, Pastor Blaylock, you know, that's not the popular road. You look at modern Christianity today, the Christian schools today are basically private schools. Not all of them, most of them. Because there's no way in the world that they're going to insist that everybody be on this road over here. So if you're depending on that to make sure that your kids or your grandkids are going to be on fire for God, forget about it. It's not the popular road. It's not the road that everyone else who calls themselves Christians or Christianite is traveling on. It's not even the acceptable road to many people. It's not. But the road of being sold out and on fire for the Lord is the right road. Not a big fan of Robert Frost, but he did write a poem that most of you know called The Two Roads, and there's one marvelous stanza. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the road less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Young people, take the dedicated road less traveled by. Not everybody's on that road, but take that road and it will make all the difference. Parents, grandparents, take the road less traveled by. And I'm talking about in the umbrella of Christendom. Take the road less traveled by. That road over there of dedication, where everything matters to God. That He's not a piece of the pie. That He's the whole pie. And everything in your life, your work and your family, your hobbies, all of it is under the umbrella of God's command. Grandparents, do the same. This dedicated road that is less traveled. Our Heavenly Father, we love You tonight, and we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness to us, for Your faithfulness, Lord. We thank You that as these folks and all of us wake up tomorrow morning, go off to work, and do our bidding as ambassadors for Christ, Lord, that you go with us and you strengthen us, and may we truly be on the road, the dedicated road, that true act of faith. Bless your people, that it would be fruit to your honor and your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.